morning again. If you do not know who I am, my name is Judy Dellinger, and I am the deacon for April, and it is my privilege to read the scripture this morning. Matthew 28, 11 through 15, you can find it on page 909 of your pew Bible. While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. After the priests had assembled with the elders, they devised a plan to give a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You must say, 'His disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep.' If this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story is still told among the Jews to this day. May God give us understanding of this as holy word.
A couple of weeks ago, Linda and I went to see the movie Miracles from Heaven. Now, normally we shy away from so-called faith-based movies. Either the production values are not very good, or the belief system behind the movie is overly simplistic. But this movie is based on a true story, and some well-known actors are in the movie, namely Jennifer Garner and Queen Latifah. So we went to see it. Now, I am generally hesitant to talk about a current movie in my sermon because I've gotten some complaints about spoiling the movie for those of you who have not yet seen it. So here's my spoiler alert. You can cover your ears if you want to. But the general plot line of the movie is fairly well known. It's been publicized a lot. Been in magazines like Parade Magazine and People Magazine, entertainment television shows, websites. The movie tells the story of Annabelle Beam, a 9-year-old girl with a chronic digestive condition. Despite visits to many doctors and stays in the hospital, no one has been able to offer Anna, as she is called, a cure for her disorder. In the movie, it is painful to watch 9-year-old Anna suffer. She cannot tolerate most solid food. For a time, she's fed through a tube in her nose. Her stomach is distended, and she has a bellyache constantly. After a series of misdiagnoses, a specialist determines that she suffers from pseudo-obstruction motility disorder. It's a rare, incurable condition involving the nervous system and the digestive system. Her digestive system cannot process food because the nerves don't get the message to the muscles of the digestive system. At one point, Anna becomes so despondent by the pain in her stomach that she tells her mother she wants to die. Well, the story takes a dramatic turn in December of 2011. In an effort to distract Anna from her pain, her older sister goads her into climbing a large dead cottonwood tree in the backyard. While climbing up high in the dead tree, a branch breaks and Anna falls, not to the ground, but she falls inside the hollow tree. It's a fall of some 30 feet. Well, everyone's concerned. Someone calls 911. Eventually, ambulance personnel arrive, but they can't figure out how to get her out from inside this huge tree. After hours remaining stuck in the tree, the firefighters finally rig up a way to get her out of the tree. She's rushed to the ER, where she undergoes a series of tests for neurological damage. Her worried parents are out there in the waiting room waiting. The doctor finally comes out, and the ER doctor says, other than possibly a concussion and some superficial bumps and bruises, she doesn't appear to have been injured at all. Not only that, in the days that follow, her symptoms from the digestive disorder seem to disappear. After more tests, doctors advise her that they can discontinue the medications that Anna has been taking for years. Now, Anna's father, Dr. Kevin Beam, is a veterinarian. And given his medical background, he wants to find the scientific explanation for her remarkable recovery. He says, "I can't explain what happened to her physically while she was in that tree. All I have to go on is the radiological data and the medical records from before and after the fall." Anna's mother can only come to the conclusion that Anna's recovery is a miracle. Her gastroenterologist is a specialist at the Children's Hospital in Boston, Dr. Samuel Nurko. Dr. Nurko doesn't call it a miracle, but he does release Anna from his care, noting that she is completely asymptomatic, leading a normal life, and is not requiring any therapies. Well, was it a miracle? Or could it be that Anna's fall somehow reconnected her nervous system and her digestive system so that she can now eat anything she wants? Well, that's a theory. What cannot be disputed is that a formerly very sick girl who used to require a liquid diet and 10 medications a day is now eating pizza and McDonald's Happy Meals. Well, Anna's recovery would probably be no more than a medical curiosity were it not for the fact that she believes that she had a spiritual encounter with God when she was stuck in the tree. She later told her parents that she, while being unconscious, went to heaven and sat on Jesus' lap, and Jesus told her she would be okay. Well, this is the part of the story that has some skeptics shaking their heads and rolling their eyes in disbelief. But it's also the part of the story that inspired Anna's mother, Christy Beam, to write a book upon which the movie is based. Now, as I was researching information, background information, about Anna's story for this sermon, I checked out various websites on the internet. And some of the websites allow readers to leave a comment. You've seen that where people can leave a comment after they read the story. Well, most of the comments on one website were very positive, but some were extremely negative, snarky, condescending, even cruel. Now, most of those negative comments don't merit repeating, but the gist is that some people refuse to believe that a miracle took place. They say that Anna wasn't really that sick, or the doctors didn't really diagnose it correctly, or even that the story was made up for her parents to make money. Just to give you an example, here's one sarcastic comment. "Awesome. Now I'm going to jump from a tree too." "I better make it 40 feet. I'm pretty screwed up." Well, some people simply refuse to believe in miracles. Some people refuse to believe in God or believe that if there is a supreme being, he would never intervene in human life for good. It's like the characters in our scripture for this morning. Jesus has been raised from the dead. The tomb was empty, but some people refused to believe it. The soldiers guarding the tomb felt the earthquake. They saw the angel. They fainted like dead men. And when they came to, they found the tomb was empty. And some of them rushed into Jerusalem to tell the chief priests what had happened. Well, the priests and the elders came together and they concocted a scenario to explain the empty tomb. They devised a plan to give the soldiers a large sum of money, and in return, the soldiers would say that the disciples had come during the night and stolen the body. Now, the problem with that scenario was that soldiers could be executed for sleeping on the job. They were there to guard the tomb, and they were not supposed to allow anybody to come and steal the body. Well, the priest and the elders promised the soldiers that they would keep them out of trouble if this news of the empty tomb ever reached the governor's ears. And so this false story was still being told among the Jews when Matthew wrote his gospel some 30, 40, maybe even 50 years later. Jesus didn't rise from the dead. The disciples came and stole the body. So the story goes. Last Sunday, Dave Thompson in his children's story talked about Albert Einstein. Now, Dr. Dave, who's an astrophysicist with NASA, said that Einstein, a century ago, advanced a theory about gravitational waves. And the thing was, when he advanced this theory, it was met with great skepticism, even disbelief, by the learned people of his day. But recently, scientists have discovered evidence that validates Einstein's theory. In fact, in February of this year, the lead investigator of the LIGO project, that's the Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatory, the leader of that experiment made a stunning announcement. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we have detected gravitational waves." Now, you can ask Dave to explain exactly what that means, but here's what I know about it. Some 1.3 billion light years away, two black holes, each approximately 30 times the mass of our sun, merged together. Now, those numbers are so big it's hard to grasp. A light year is the distance light travels in a year. So 1.3 billion light years away, these two massive black holes, each 30 times the mass of our sun, merged together. And the merger created ripples, or waves, or wiggles, as Dave called them, in the fabric of space itself. And after journeying through space at the speed of light, the ripples finally reached those LIGO detectors with bases in Washington State and Louisiana. And both detectors saw the same signal. One scientist says this finding is akin to Galileo looking through his telescope at the planets. Another astrophysicist and author, Ethan Siegel, wrote about the discovery, "The universe is opening up to humanity in a whole new way, and we're testing for the first time the most extreme gravitational regimes that exist in all of space." He says, "It's an incredible time for science and an amazing time for us all to be alive." Albert Einstein said, "There are two ways you can live. You can live as if nothing is a miracle, or you can live as if everything is a miracle." Well, I prefer to live as if everything is a miracle. And when I think about the vastness of space and how little we really understand about the universe, I almost laugh at those who say that miracles aren't possible. I mean, what do they know? What do any of us know? The universe is so vast. How can we comprehend the Creator who made it all? But the Creator has made himself known in terms we can comprehend. The Creator of the universe took on human flesh and lived among us. And when sinful humanity killed the Son of God, the Creator said, "Not so fast," and raised Jesus from the dead. They took the money and lied about what happened. But the false testimony of the guards could not hide the truth. At the end of the movie, Miracles from Heaven, the real Beam family appears on the screen. Annabelle, the one who fell into the tree, the one who was so sick and now is asymptomatic, she's now 13 years old. And we see her and her sisters and her parents in their home in Burleson, Texas. If you were to travel to Burleson, you could probably find the Beams home and you could probably talk to them and they could tell you about the story. Or if you were to travel to Boston, also at the end of the movie, there's the doctor, Dr. Samuel Nurko, the specialist who works at Children's Hospital in Boston. If he had time, he could probably tell you his version of the story about how she's now asymptomatic. These are living, breathing people who can tell you that the story is true. Well, in his first letter to the Corinthians, Paul wrote to some skeptics in the church in Corinth who did not believe in the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul listed some of the people that the risen Jesus had appeared to, Peter, the other disciples, and then Paul said more than 500 saw Jesus alive after the resurrection. It was as if Paul was saying, if you don't believe me, go talk to them. Many of them are still around. And last of all, Paul said, he appeared to me. Now, Paul did not see Jesus immediately after he was raised from the dead. This was some years later, when Paul, then known as Saul, was on the road to Damascus intending to arrest the Christians there. When he was struck blind by a light from heaven, he heard the voice of Jesus speaking to him. It sounds about as improbable as a 9-year-old girl falling into a tree and going to heaven and sitting on Jesus' lap. Well, the soldiers took the money, and they made up a story to try to conceal the truth. But they could not hide the fact that the tomb was empty. And those who believed in Jesus, whose hearts were full, told the world that he's alive. And so here we are on the Sunday after Easter, and we are still celebrating the resurrection. And even as we take the bread and the cup, we remember not just that Jesus died on the cross, but we remember that he rose from the grave to give us new life. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. As the old hymn says, you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. This table of the Lord is open to all fellow Christians. And although no one should partake of these sacred emblems impenitent or without faith in Christ, we invite all who are sincerely seeking him to receive from his table in the assurance that he who came into the world to be the Savior of all will receive you as his own.
On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he gave the thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is given for you. As often as you eat this bread, do this in remembrance of me. As Jesus shared the bread with his disciples, we share his bread with one another. May we pray.
Father God, we thank you for this, the great love that you have for us, that you made this sacrifice for us. Help us as we eat this bread to visualize our Savior hanging on the tree, broken and bruised for us. But help us also to see beyond that to the great love that you had that prompted this sacrifice to save us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. remembrance of thee. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we are in awe of a God who loves us so much that he would sacrifice the blood of his Son for our sins. Through his death and resurrection, we have the hope of eternal life. Help us to remember not only today, but every day of that gift, and help us to share that gift through showing mercy, kindness, and love to those who are in need, and forgiving others as you've forgiven us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. And he can live in your heart too. If you accept him as your Savior, you receive the gift of salvation, eternal life he offers by your faith in him. It may be there's someone here today who'd want to profess your faith in Jesus, follow him as a believer in baptism. We'll be having a service of believers' baptism in 2 weeks, and you could be a part of that. Or maybe you've been baptized on the basis of your faith, but you're not a part of this church family. You'd want to unite with us. We'd welcome that decision as well. Invite you to come to the front as we stand together and sing our closing hymn, number 223, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Lord.